This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dodge. Prices in the oil market continue trending up. Overnight on Monday, the global benchmark Brent crude jumped more than 3% to a four-year high of above $80 a barrel. This is after Saudi Arabia and Russia ruled out any immediate increase in production. And this is despite calls by the U.S. President Donald Trump for action to raise global supply. So how do you see oil trading moving forward?
Good morning. I think the view is to the upside, not to the downside. So with the U.S., it's around 72. We're looking for 73 to 75. We suspect that over time, supply will increase and might put some downward pressure, but it has to be real. It has to be in print that there's going to be more supply. Otherwise, the oil is going to be trading higher moving forward, at least through the end of the year. We see this having a very positive effect on many of our energy stocks, particularly the large cap ones such as Exxon and Chevron. We suspect that will be true throughout the world, at least for the short term.
Okay. Do you see the oil prices hitting the $100 per barrel mark, though?
No, I don't. I think that is rather high, and it assumes that the supply, which is very abundant but not available at this time, doesn't come on the market. And so it would be a surprise to get to the three digits, to $100. But the upward pressure will continue at least through our midterm, through the end of November. Then in December, we will wait and see. But I do see the $80 level, particularly for U.S., as a possibility. We're already in the U.S. and the $80 level elsewhere. But as far as the U.S. is concerned, we're still around 72, 73. We have a way to go. For $100 to be hit worldwide, it would require an unusual and unexpected combination of supply and demand, which we don't see at this point.
Okay, let's turn to gold. Standard Chartered sees gold rising after the FOMC meeting this week. What's your outlook on gold?
We see that there is a possibility of a basing, but as far as the supply, the commodity is concerned, there's no change in our long-term outlook, which has been quite bearish for quite a while. It is in a downtrend. We do see some potential basing, particularly as we get into the October calendar period. But in terms of gold stocks, we do see some positive. There have been several acquisitions, several takeovers that have been announced, and they've been viewed favorably in terms of the market. But gold trades more as a commodity rather than the earnings of a particular company. So it's going to take a lot more. Gold is going to have to prove itself to the upside. It's trying to base now shorter term, but it needs to break out of the base. And so that's what we're going to be watching in terms of the commodity. We're watching 1163, 1167 zone. But at this point, it's going to take more than what we're seeing for gold to start to base and really get started down the upside.
Okay. Looking at equities, market strategists believe that investors should diversify away from some of the year's biggest winners now, and that's tech, right? 10 stocks make driving half of the returns of the S&P 500. This is in the first 7 months of the year, and a lot of that's coming from the tech sector. So do you agree that investors should diversify out of tech?
Well, there are several answers. First of all, in terms of semiconductors, definitely, absolutely, yes. In terms of the tech sector, please note that 8% of all S&P 500 companies are being moved or have been moved as of the end of last week to a brand new sector, and that will come on board later this month. This is the largest change ever. The mighty information technology sector, which has surged to a dominant position in the world of emerging market equities, is about to be cut down to size. This may be good news for Chinese internet heavyweights such as Alibaba and Tencent, which are about to be stripped of their status as a tech company, as a purely defined tech company, in the eyes of the MSCI and the S&P and Dow Jones Industries, at least. So that may be positive for some of those stocks that are no longer, although they have, like Amazon's behaved very well yesterday. So in terms of pure definition, yes, there will be a move, there should be and will be a move away from technology, but that doesn't mean that some of those names that have been so big in technology are now going to be viewed more in terms of retail, in terms of more, instead of being technology-driven, it will be where they're going to. So we suspect that some of those technology stocks, Apple perhaps, Microsoft, they're expected to increase in their weightings, so I think they will become more important within the technology sector as a pure sector. But in terms of others, I would be watching for Google and Amazon to benefit from their transition away of pure technology. But in terms of semiconductors, absolutely yes. It's time to move away.
Okay, let's turn to trade tensions. I mean, that's likely to continue mounting as the U.S. and China exchange blows. So do you expect the adverse effects from this to be muted, given that escalations have already been mostly anticipated?
I believe that the market as a whole, the world market as a whole, has factored in the trade tensions, at least for now, because the expectation is there will be some kind of compromise between the two major countries so that both can come to a mutually agreeable agreement. I suspect that that will continue at least through the middle to end of November. But once we get by that, we will need to watch and whether the trade tensions and the bargaining and the countermeasures and countermeasures start to diversify out of just pure trade wars and into other parts of economic growth and progress that the countries are facing. So we suspect that, yes, it's not going to be a major collapse at this point, and the perception is that both China and U.S. will prove to be able to work together and to come to an agreement. But that remains to be seen, and now it has to prove itself this time. It's not; it is expected, but it needs to be proved, and the real test will be between the end of November and the beginning of January of next year.
Well, Dodge, a strategist at Morgan Stanley recently raised their rating on emerging market currencies and bonds to neutral. This is from negative. And it's because they view global risk as more moderate than earlier projected. So do you share the same view or do you see the global risk heightening?
I do share it to an extent. Some of the more favorable countries that we are now watching very carefully and have some investments Argentina, Ecuador, Finland, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, and the United Arab Emirates. But there are more countries, and there are some countries that are trying to form short-term bases that may ultimately prove to be more favorable. Austria, Belgium, Brazil, Chile, Croatia, Denmark, there's a longer list. But again, they really do need to prove themselves. They're really trying to break out of a base. It is premature, in our opinion, to be investing in those countries at this point. We will wait. It really doesn't pay to anticipate the move out, because if it doesn't move, one will lose. But yes, the perception is that the future is becoming brighter for emerging markets.
Well, Dodger, economic data to watch out for this week. This includes readings on consumer confidence and third look at a second quarter GDP for the U.S. So what clues or data should markets be looking out for from these prints?
We should be watching for a negative reaction to the news, not the news itself, because I believe the news will at least confirm that the U.S. continues in a favorable trend. August personal income will be 0.4% versus 0.3% for the prior period. August consumption will be around 0.3%, which is a little bit lower than the prior month, 0.4, but it's still very good. September Chicago PMI will be around 62, which is close enough to the 63.6 of last month to not be a negative for the market. September Michigan sentiment will be over 100, 100.3, 0.4, which is close enough to the 100.8 for the last period to not be a negative surprise. So what the numbers, what the estimates have to do is a little bit less than they have in the past. They have to not prove that there's downside potential, and it is more likely that they won't, that they'll at least confirm that we're continuing on a favorable route.
Thank you, Dodge, for your time.
Great job, Joyce, and many thanks to Dodge Dorlin, Chief Investment Officer with Lender and Fuse Capital Managers in New York. We are about to head into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we've got the BBC World Service, so stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.